Now titles appear. 20th Century Fox presents Cameron Diaz as Mary, Matt Dillon as Healy, and Ben Stiller as Ted. Up in a tree, a lanky guitarist sits beside a drummer.
His friends would say, stop whining, they've had enough of that. His friends would say, stop pining, there's other girls to look at. They've tried to set him up with Tiffany and Indigo, but there's something about Mary that they don't know. Mary, there's just something about Mary. Well, his friends say, look, life's no fairy tale, that he should have some fun, he's suffered long enough. Well, they may know about domestic and imported ale, but they don't know a thing about love. Well, his friends would say he's dreaming and living in the past, but they've never fallen in love, so his friends need not be asked. His friends would say, be reasonable. His friends would say, let go. But there's something about Mary that they don't know. Mary, there's just something about Mary.
Titles continue. There's Just Something About Mary, directed by Peter Farrelly and Bobby Farrelly. On the ground, a high school boy with shaggy brown hair wears a backpack.
When I was 16 years old, I fell in love.
Cumberland, Rhode Island, 1985.
Hey, Ernice.
Hey.
So, what's up?
Yeah.
Cool.
She looks away, disinterested. Hands in his pockets, he nods.
So, I was wondering, I don't know if maybe you wanted to and... Or if not, if you don't want to, you don't have to. I mean, I just wonder if maybe you're going to the prom and, or if you felt like that, maybe you want to go with me. Or, I mean, whatever, if you didn't.
She stares off.
Did you take that bio test? So it was like...
Look, I heard this rumor that this guy, like, was going to ask me, so I'm going to wait and see what happens there. That sounds great. Yeah.
Okay.
He starts away, then turns back and squints.
So is that like a yes or a no? Or...
I thought I made it perfectly clear. If everything else falls apart, maybe.
She saunters off.
I'm gonna hold you to that.
He turns away as a gorgeous girl wearing tight pink pants rides by on a bike. The shaggy-haired boy stands near a bunch of kids who sit on the hood of a car and watch her.
I wonder who she's going with.
She parks her bike and smooths back her long blonde hair.
Her name was Mary. She moved to our little Rhode Island town from Minnesota 2 years earlier.
She smiles with two friends.
What a fox.
I heard she's going with some guy named Woogie.
Who? Big guy. Goes to Barrington High.
Woogie from Barrington High? Sounds like a loser.
Loser? Woogie's only, like, all-state football and basketball and fucking valedictorian.
I heard he got a scholarship to Princeton, but he's going to Europe first to model.
Yeah? I was thinking of doing that.
He flips back his long, frizzy hair. Nearby, a big boy wearing earmuffs looks around frantically. His name is spelled out on the back of his jacket. Warren.
Have you seen my baseball?
The frizzy-haired guy smiles.
Hey, check it out.
Across the way, a guy nudges his friend.
Hey, buddy, come here. I think I know where your ball is.
Warren rushes over.
You see my bed? Oh,
yeah, I seen it.
He points at a girl with her boyfriend.
You see that girl over there?
That girl.
She has it, except that she doesn't call it a baseball. She's got another name for it.
He leans close and whispers in Warren's fuzzy red earmuff.
Nice muffs.
Warren walks up to the couple.
Have you seen my... wiener?
What?
Have you seen my wiener?
What the hell did you just say, buddy?
He shoves Warren.
Wiener?
Hey, get your hand off my car.
What the hell did you just say to me?
My wiener. I was fucking son of a bitch.
I'm gonna fucking kick your ass.
He pushes down Warren. The shaggy-haired boy intervenes. The bully shoves him down. Mary rushes over.
Stop it!
She brushes Warren off.
You okay, Warren?
Mary, have you seen my baseball?
No, I haven't seen your baseball, Warren. What are you doing leaving the yard? You know you're not supposed to leave by yourself.
You know him?
He's my brother.
I'm her brother.
Oh.
Warren.
I didn't realize, you know? You ought to tell him to watch his mouth.
Jerk.
She looks at the shaggy-haired boy.
Are you okay?
Oh, yeah. I'm fine. You okay?
Warren nods.
Thanks, Ted.
I couldn't believe that she knew my name. Some of my best friends didn't know my name.
Later, they walk home.
I think that Joe Montana is, like, the most underrated quarterback. I mean, he should have been a first-round draft pick. Look what he did at Notre Dame. It's so ridiculous.
Exactly.
I'm telling you, it's this year, it's the 49ers. 49ers.
All the way.
Warren smiles.
Piggyback ride! Huh? Piggyback!
Warren, stop it.
Piggyback ride!
Leave Ted alone.
No, that's okay. It's okay. I'll do it. I mean, if you think
he
can hold me.
Are you kidding me? Really? He's 230 pounds. He can hold you. Right. You don't have to.
No, it's okay. I got a little disc thing, but it's all right. All right, here we go. Giddy up, Warren!
Yeah. Ted jumps onto Warren's back.
Ooh, he's a real Clydesdale, isn't he? Huh?
Warren puts him down.
Okay, my turn now.
He climbs onto Ted's back.
Well, I don't.
It's okay, Ted. You have to.
Ted grits his teeth and staggers under Warren's weight.
That's fun, huh, Warren?
Later, Ted trudgingly carries Warren to a sprawling white house and sets him down. Warren races off, and Ted rests his hands on his knees.
Oh! That was fun.
It's only 2:30, huh?
Yeah.
I'm in the yard now. Aha!
Okay, go hide.
Got a lot of energy.
Yeah, he's great. I have a lot of fun with him.
Yeah.
Thanks for walking us back.
Yeah, no problem. Are you
going to the prom?
Huh? I think proms.
Because I thought maybe we could go together.
Oh, you're gonna go with like a bunch of people or? You want like a designated driver, right?
No, I mean, you and me, like we could go together, the two of us.
He smiles, showing braces.
You and me?
Yeah.
His grin grows wider.
Well, is that a yes or a no?
Sure. All right.
Good. Cool. I'm gonna take Warren back inside. I'll see you at school.
Cool, catch you back at school.
From that moment on, the guys at school looked at me in a whole new light.
You're a fucking liar. Do you expect us to believe that you're going to the prom with Mary?
What's so crazy about that?
Oh, yeah, Dirtbud, and I'm going with Cindy Lauper. What happened to Woogie?
She said she broke up with him, that he was getting weird on her.
I got $20 that says you're full of shit.
Why not make it 100?
Rock on.
I'm in.
Me too.
Later, Ted drives up to Mary's house in a wood-paneled station wagon. Wearing a light brown tuxedo with dark brown lapels, he gets out and fingers back his shaggy bangs. Carrying a corsage in one hand, he bobbles a brand new baseball in the other, then slips it into his pocket and walks toward the house. A tall black man answers the door.
I'm not paying until the job gets done. You can kiss my ass. What the hell do you want?
Ted checks the house for a number.
I'm Ted Stroman. I'm here to take Mary to the prom.
Prom? Mary went to the prom 20 minutes ago with her boyfriend, Woogie.
Woogie?
Woogie!
Oh. Let's see.
Ted turns away.
Charlie, you were so mean! This is Mary's stepfather, Charlie. I'm Sheila, her mother. Ted, don't pay any attention to anything he says. He's a laugh a minute.
Oh.
The pretty blonde steps aside as Ted enters.
Well, he's having a little fun with the guys. Prom night. Woogie's got a sense of humor.
At the TV, Warren picks his nose and works a Rubik's Cube.
Oh, hey. Hi, Warren.
Oh, listen, once he gets into that MTV, he'll be there for quite a while.
Mary walks down the steps.
Oh, here she comes. Oh, honey, you look beautiful.
She wears a floor-length powder blue gown.
Shit, look at that.
You better be careful, boy.
Wide-eyed, Ted watches Mary come downstairs in slow motion. Her curled blonde hair falls over her bare shoulders. A broad smile tugs at the corners of his mouth as she stands in front of him.
Hi, Ted.
Hey, Mary. You look really pretty.
Thanks. I like your colors.
Oh, thanks. The guy said it was tan and taupe.
He hands her the corsage.
Poor Teddy's been getting at both barrels from the Weisenheimer here. Oh.
Dad, you haven't been busting Ted's chops, have you?
I was just fucking with him, right, Ted? You know.
Hey, Warren, when did you say hi to Ted?
About 10 times.
Okay.
Hey, Warren, I think I found your baseball.
You see my baseball?
Well, if it's a big white one.
Winking, he walks over to Warren.
With, little red stitching?
Yeah, it is. Then I think I saw it right behind your ear.
Warren cuffs Ted, throws him to the floor, then pins him down and pounds his stomach. Charlie holds the women back as Warren lifts up Ted and spins him around.
Get down there, Charlie!
Hey, Ted, what are you doing, man?
Ted!
Warren, put him down now!
Warren drops him.
What the hell are you doing?
Charlie yanks Ted to his feet while Warren huddles in a chair, rocking and patting his face. Mary finds his muffs and covers his ears.
Are you kidding me? What the hell is the matter with you?
I was just trying to give him the baseball.
Baseball?
Yeah.
What baseball?
I had a baseball. I know, like...
What baseball?
There's a baseball here. I swear, I brought him a baseball, and I was just trying to give him a present.
Are you yelling at me?
No.
Are you yelling at me in my own house?
No.
Don't let me have to open a can of whoop-ass on you, yeah?
Ted, I should have told you. He has a thing about his ears.
Ted touches his bleeding lip.
Oh, honey, your strap's broken.
Oh. All right. Hey, Ted, I'm just going to go upstairs real quick, okay? I just need 2 minutes. I got to fix my dress.
I'll help you, honey.
Charlie hugs Warren.
Yeah, yeah. You think, can I use your bathroom? Sir, I got to...
He broke the table.
Son of a bitch.
I didn't do it.
Ted slinks off.
I swear to you.
The bathroom is that way.
At the mirror, Ted dabs his lip.
Yeah, open up a can of whoop-ass on him. I'm trying to do the kid a favor.
Ted lifts up the toilet seat and unzips his pants. Out the window, he watches two white doves perched side by side on a tree branch.
Why do birds suddenly appear? Every time you are near.
Ted bobs his head and grins,
just
flashing
like
his braces.
Me, they long to be.
The birds fly away, and Ted sees Mary at a window in her bra.
No, I wasn't.
Mary's mom covers her.
Shit!
Ted yanks up a zipper. His eyes widen.
Ow!
Outside, a mother hurries her little boy along on his bike. Later, outside the bathroom door.
Ted? Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm fine. Everything's okay.
Okay, just take your time. It's all right.
You know, he's been in there over a half an hour.
Sheila leans toward her husband.
Charlie, I think he's masturbating.
Oh, come on.
He's not masturbating. Well, he was watching you undress with a silly grin on his face.
No, I was watching the bird.
What do you want me to do?
Okay, kid, listen. I'm coming in, okay?
No!
Ted
don't.
Faces the wall.
Exactly. What the hell is the situation? What, did you shit yourself or something?
Oh, I wish. I got it stuck.
You got what stuck?
It!
Oh!
Charlie flinches and grabs his crotch.
Well, listen, it's not the end of the world. These kind of things happen. Let's have a look at it.
He sits on the toilet seat and puts on his glasses.
Oh, for God's name and sake! Sheila!
No!
Sheila, honey?
He peeks out the door.
Sheila, honey,
You gotta come here. You gotta see this.
What is this?
What?
Don't
come in here.
Don't.
Don't worry. She's a dental hygienist. She'll know exactly what to do.
Hi, Ted.
Hi, Mrs. Jensen. How are you?
You okay?
Yeah.
She looks. Holy shit! Shh. Charlie, you could have warned me.
Keep it down.
Okay,
I'm sorry, Mrs. Jensen. I just want Mary. Okay. I don't want her here. You know.
Okay. Let's just relax here, okay? Now, what exactly are we looking at here?
What do you mean? What?
Well, I mean, is it the,
She cups one hand and holds the other upright.
Is it the Frank or the beans?
Right. I don't know. It looks like, I think it's a little bit of both.
Frank, some beans! Frank, some beans!
What's that bubble there?
What do you think? It's a...
Well, how the hell did you get the beans above the Frank? I mean,
I don't know. It wasn't like it was a well-thought-out plan.
You know, there really does seem to be an awful lot of skin coming through there, so I'm going to find some Bactine, honey.
No.
A policeman leans in the window.
Over there.
Oh, Christ.
The hell's going on here? Neighbors said they heard a lady scream.
Well, you're looking at him. You got to take a look at this thing.
Oh, Jesus.
Ain't it a beaut?
What the hell were you thinking? How the hell did you get the zipper all the way to the top?
Well, let's just say the kid's limber.
Sheila sprays him.
Ow! Ow! Christ! What the...
A fireman comes in.
Somebody's gonna have to move that station wagon in front so I can get the truck in here.
Lenny, come here. Oh. Take a look at what this numbnuts did.
Holy shit!
A bubble of pinched skin pokes out of Ted's zipper.
Mike! Eddie! Get down here quick. Bring everybody. Bring a camera. You're not going to believe this. We got a kid down here. What's your name?
No, there's only one thing to do here.
The cop rolls up his sleeves.
Wait, you know what? I got an idea. Look.
Ted desperately untucks his shirt.
Look, I can just wear this over the front.
Look, I can go to the prom. We'll deal with it later.
Relax. You already laid the tracks. That's the hard part. Now we're just going to back it up.
Teddy, be brave.
It's just like pulling off a Band-Aid.
The cop reaches down.
A one. And a two. And a...
We got a bleeder! Keep the pressure on. Keep it on.
Medics wheel Ted outside on a stretcher. Mary presses a towel against his crotch.
He was masturbating! People, please move out of the way. Please move. This is serious, people. He was masturbating!
Move out of the way.
None of this ever happened to Woogie.
Are you okay, Ted?
His stretcher tips over. As the medics right it, Ted grabs his arm.
Oh, my God, are you all right?
Gritting his teeth, he gives her a thumbs up as the medics load him into the back of an ambulance.
Okay, Ted.
Teary-eyed, Mary flings down her arms. In the ambulance, Ted squeezes his eyes shut. Our view dissolves to a short-haired Ted sitting in a big chair. Providence, Rhode Island, 1998.
So anyway, school ended a couple of days later, and her father got transferred to Florida in July.
Behind him, a psychiatrist sneaks back into his office, chewing a mouthful.
Oh, I never saw Mary again. That was, 13 years ago.
No, that's very interesting.
Anyway, I know it's not the type of thing you'd forget, but I guess I must have blocked it out of my head or something, because I was driving down the highway last week, and I started thinking about Mary, and all of a sudden it was like I couldn't breathe. I mean, I felt like I was going to die. So I pulled off the road, and I just sort of stopped in this, I guess it was a rest area. I was just kind of shaking, and...
You know, rest areas are homosexual hangouts. Highway rest areas. They're the bathhouses of the 90s for many, 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 many gay men.
Ted pinches his brow and looks back over his shoulder.
So what are you saying?
The psychiatrist checks his watch.
Time she's up. We'll delve into that next week.
later in the backyard of a friend's house.
Well, you know, you are a writer, and writers are artists, and most artists are a little foofy, a little...
A woman brings out a box of cigars.
Thanks for the support, really.
Hey, guys, I thought you might like some of these with your beers.
Yes, indeed, right there, Ted. Help yourself.
You know, I don't think I'm going to have one. Thanks, though.
Really?
No, you don't want one?
No. What sure. do you want? You want something else?
Mm-mm.
No. Come on, you want something to eat?
Mm-mm. Not hungry.
No? Okay. You sure you want, a cookie?
No.
Something like that? Honey, we got cookies.
No, we don't, but you know, I could bake some.
Yeah. No, don't bake any.
No, that's a good idea. Why don't you run in and bake some? Bake some Toll Houses.
Oh, great. Yeah. Chocolate chip or butterscotch?
Let's go with the chocolate chip.
Okay, good.
Okay, really,
good.
It's
fine. Don't worry about that.
She heads in.
She loves this kind of thing.
Really?
Yeah.
See, that's great. That's what I want. A family and somebody to, you know.
His friend lights up a cigar.
It must be wonderful having all this, huh?
Each day's better than the next. How about you, the big L? Ever been?
What?
In love?
Well, once. Mary.
Oh, God, not Mary again.
Look, I know it was brief, but it was definitely love, Dom. I mean, crushes don't last for 13 years, right?
Whatever happened to Mary?
Told you, she moved with her family to Miami.
So why don't you look her up?
I did, once. I called, she wasn't listed.
So that's it? You get one little bump in the road and you give up?
Well, it's probably for the best. I mean, after 13 years, she's probably going to think I'm a stalker or something.
You know, what you should do is, hire a private investigator, you know, to find her, follow her around. She won't know anything.
No way. That's way too creepy. Besides, she's probably married with a couple of kids by now. Girls like Mary, they don't stay single.
Hey, I've got an idea. There's this guy down in my office. His name's Healy. He's a claims investigator. He's a hell of a bloodhound. He shoots down to Miami every couple of weeks or so. He can help you out.
This guy runs a little hot. But he gets the job done.
Now, a guy with a pencil-thin mustache sits below a girly calendar.
Dom tells me you're looking for some lady friend you knew back at school.
Ted nods.
Yeah. That's cute. I don't buy it, but it's cute.
You're not buying what?
Ted, I'm the kind of guy who likes to shoot from the hip.
Healy stands up with his pants unbuckled.
I want you to level with me.
He tucks in his shirt, zips up his pants, and closes his office door.
Come on, let's talk. Did you knock this skirt up, huh?
No.
And she's blackmailing you, right?
Blackmailing me? No.
You want her dead, don't you?
Dead? You're not serious, are you?
You expect me to believe this is a straight stalker case? Come on.
Hey, I'm not a stalker. I'm not a stalker, right? She's a friend of mine.
Oh, sure she is. That explains why she's got an unlisted number. And you haven't heard squat from her in 13 years. Yeah, a real chum. You're good, Ted. Real piece of work.
You know what? You know what? Forget it. Just forget the whole thing, all right?
Okay, I'll do it. But if this chick turns up with a toe tag, I'm rolling over on you, big guy.
All right.
Now in Miami Beach.
You're just a young broken heart, but I'm sleeping in the yard.
A convertible pulls up to an outdoor cafe.
Healy, you dog!
Sully, look at you.
You hot shit. You look fucking pisser.
Healy pets a Great Dane in the back seat.
Does he bite?
A little bit. Get in.
Sully, middle-aged and bald, drives.
Here's the info you asked for.
Thanks.
Yeah, you should thank me. That girl was not easy to find. What, she scammed me out of some insurance dough?
Nah, some guy gave me a couple bucks to track down his high school girlfriend.
Stalker, huh?
Yep, big time.
Later, Healy naps in the convertible outside an apartment building. With his hat pulled down over his eyes, he wears an earphone in his left ear. Jerking awake, he aims a microphone at an upper window, where a tall, thin woman with blonde, chin-length hair wears panties and a snug white tank top. Healy watches her through binoculars.
Looks like we found your Mary, Ted. Husband, negative. Children in a Labrador, negative. Tight little package, affirmative.
Mary puts on a robe and strolls onto a balcony where a tanned older woman suns herself, holding a silver reflector under her chin.
Good morning, Magda.
Hi, doll. You're in my light.
Sorry.
Mary sips a cup of coffee.
So you've been out here all night again?
Bet your ass I have. This is an important job, Neighborhood Watch is.
Oh, Neighborhood Watch, is that what we're calling it? Listening to perfect strangers' telephone conversations.
This only picks up cellular phones in a half a mile radius.
Meaning?
Meaning these are the people you live amongst. You got a right to know if they're creeps. For instance, do you know the guy in the greenhouse down the street?
Yeah. Cheating on his wife.
And I am not surprised. I am not surprised at all. Because Puffy used to bark his balls off whenever he saw him. And you know that Puffy, he only barks at the bad people.
Okay. Well, listen, I'm going to go hit some golf balls and hook up with Warren. So, try to get some sleep.
Okay. Bye now.
Bye.
Later, Mary leaves her apartment building wearing slim black pants and a snug red shirt. Healy watches her visit a man on a dock. She tosses him an apple.
Hey, Herb, how's it going? Happy for you today.
Thanks, Mary.
Have a good day. Later.
Looking good, honey.
Healy starts up his car as she climbs into her SUV and drives off. Later, at a driving range facing a broad strip of water, Mary holds her golf club behind her back and stretches. Healy watches from the parking lot. Mary takes a swing. Her ball arcs into the distance and splashes down. As she sets up another shot, a passing woman waves.
Hi, Mary.
Hey, Mrs. Bailey, how you doing?
Looks like we got a jock on our hands.
Mary nails another beautiful shot. Later, Healy watches her pick up lunch at a fast food joint.
Hey, you want the sports page?
She gives a man the newspaper.
Bye, guys. See ya.
Later, she parks by a van with lettering on its window, the Neary Center for Exceptional People. Mary grabs four fast food bags and gets out. Healy pulls up. On a beach, Mary hands out hamburgers to Neary Center students who wear bright orange t-shirts.
Yeah, Mary, I have two, Mary.
Yeah, you can have two halves, just like everybody else.
Huh?
Yeah, it's good.
Will you marry me, Mary?
Oh, I would love to, Jimmy, but I'm already engaged to Freddie.
Who's Freddie? Who?
As you. Yeah.
Freddie hugs her.
Will you marry me?
Oh, what about Dolores? You gonna marry us both? I think you're making out pretty well there. Okay.
Thanks, Mary.
You're welcome, Zach.
Warren walks up.
No onions.
No onions. No onions. How you doing?
Later at lunch with her friends.
Listen to this one. Seeking sensitive wasp doctor to share candlelit dinners, long walks in Coconut Grove, marriage.
Is she looking for a corpse?
You have to be specific when you write this. You have to say seeking deaf mute with, you know, 3-pound cock and trust fund.
Want a guy who can play 36 holes and still have enough energy to take me and Warren to a ball game and eat hot dogs. I'm talking sausage hot dogs, beer. Not light beer, but beer. That's my ad. Print it up.
Fatty who likes beer and golf. Geez, Mary, where are you going to find a gem like that?
Okay, well, here's the catch. He has to be self-employed.
Like a drug dealer?
No, I was thinking along the lines maybe of somebody like an architect or something. But I want somebody with freedom in their job, you know? Somebody who can do it anywhere and just leave at a drop of the hat.
And where would you and your beer-bellied architect be going to?
Super Bowl?
Yeah.
Healy eavesdrops.
I don't know, maybe a few months in Nepal.
Mm-hmm. And you probably dumped the poor guy halfway to Kathmandu.
What's that supposed to mean?
It means you change your mind too much.
No, I don't.
Oh, come off it, Mary. Remember that gorgeous corn-fed white boy, honey, that you just dumped like yesterday's garbage? What was his name? Pac-Man.
Okay, we had fun for a while.
Mary, cut the crap. What really happened with Brett?
Yeah, Brett seems so sweet. You know what Tucker said Rhett told him? He said that if Warren wasn't in my life, that he would have popped the question a long time ago.
Oh, what a shock.
To hell with Brett, you know?
I've got a vibrator.
They glance over at Healy. Nighttime. Mary returns home and strolls over to the dog, where Herb still sits. Healy watches in his rearview mirror as she gives Herb a brown paper bag and kisses him on the cheek. Later in her apartment, Mary watches TV.
Look forward to seeing you next Sunday on the sports machine.
Healy dozes in the car. Clutching his microphone, he sits up and glances toward Mary's window. She pulls her red T-shirt over her head and stands in her bra and panties.
Oh, yeah. Oh, here comes the money shot.
He gets out bigger binoculars and peers up at a pair of droopy, wrinkled breasts.
First chick in the armor, Ted.
He pans up from the droopy breasts to Magda's tanned face.
Shit.
Moving over a few windows, he watches Mary pull down her tight tank top. The next day at a bar, Ted sits at an outdoor table with a bottle of beer. Healy strides over.
Pop, you want to get me a whiskey sour when you get a sec?
Whiskey sour coming up.
Got some excellent news for you, my friend.
Oh, yeah? Excellent?
I think your life's about to change.
Really? So you found her?
Oh, yeah. And you were right, man. She really is something else.
Oh, my God. Really? She hasn't changed at all, huh?
Well, that I couldn't say. Let me ask you something. Was Mary a little big boned back in high school?
Big boned? No, not at all. No.
I guess she packed on a few pounds over the years.
Oh yeah, so she's a little chubby?
Oh, I'd say about a deuce and a half. Not bad.
Oh, why? A deuce and a half, huh?
You know, you shit out a bunch of kids and you're bound to put on a few pounds.
Oh, so she's married?
No, she's never been. That's the good news.
Huh?
Yeah. Four kids, three different guys, but no rock. Hyperactive little fuckers, too. Tough to keep up with in a wheelchair, I bet.
Oh, she's in a wheelchair? Mary's in a wheelchair?
I thought that was part of your kick. Excuse me, I ordered a whiskey sour.
Are you sure it's the same Mary? Are you sure you have the right person?
Oh, yeah. It's Mary, all right. The brother, Warren. Hey, don't look so shocked, Ted. It's been a long time. I bet you've changed a lot over the last 13 years, haven't you? What, do you think your shit don't stink?
No, I don't think... I mean, yes, it does. I don't...
Okay, I got all the information you need. I got it off her bookie. Nice guy. You really should look her up, Ted. I mean, she's a real spark plug, this one.
Well, thank you. Thanks, Healy. Good work.
Ted, don't you want the name of the housing project?
Walking off, Ted glances back.
What?
Later in bed, Ted watches TV. Grabbing the remote control, he turns it off and sits up. Wearing plaid pajama bottoms and a blue T-shirt, he takes a high school picture of Mary out of his wallet and stares at it. Long blonde hair frames her smiling face.
Bottom, and it hurts down to your soul. That's because true love is not nice.
Ted stares somberly out the window.
And it brings up hurt from when you were 5 years old. That's because true love is not nice. No. Oh, pain, pain, pain. Ain't that just love's name?
Outside on the sidewalk below Ted's window, the lanky guitarist and drummer stand by a parking meter.
It now be emphasized, true love is just not civilized. True love is not nice, no, no.
Daytime. Ted finds Healy leaving his office.
Where are you going?
Huh? Oh, I resigned.
Good luck in Miami, Pat.
Miami? What are you doing in Miami?
I took a job offer.
With who?
With Rice-A-Roni.
Isn't that the San Francisco treat?
It was. They're changing their image.
Yeah, well, listen, I've been thinking about what you said.
Good, good.
And I still want to look her up.
Who? Roller Pig? Are you nuts?
I thought you said she was a real spark plug.
Hmm? No, no, I said butt plug. She's heinous.
Ted follows Healy outside and across the street.
You know what? All the same, I think I want to call her. I mean, I know it sounds crazy, but, you know, I don't know, maybe I can help her out. I feel bad, you know, the poor thing. She's in a wheelchair, for God's sakes.
It's a bunion. It'll heal.
Bunion? I thought... Well, you know what? That's not even it. The point is, I know this doesn't make sense to you, but I can't just turn it off that fast. I guess I still have feelings for her.
This girl really means something to you, huh?
Ted shrugs and nods. Healy looks away.
All right. I'll tell you what. I'll get your number just as soon as she gets back from Japan.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Japan? What's happening in Japan? Why is she going to Japan?
Oh, you've heard of mail-order brides, haven't you? Well, they go that way, too.
Mary's a... What are they, desperate? She's a whale.
Don't forget, it's a sumo culture. They pay by the pound there. Sort of like tuna.
What happened to... You said she was single. What happened? Remember, no rock?
You had your window, Ted. You blew it.
Healy climbs into his car, and Ted stares.
I had my window?
Later in a pub with Dom.
Oh, sorry, buddy. You know, you're taking this all wrong, okay? I mean, come on, you're liberated. I feel liberated. I mean, you know, here you've been in therapy, you know, thinking you blew it with the greatest girl ever, and really, it turns out that getting your dick stuck in your zipper was the best thing that ever happened to you.
You want to say it a little louder?
I'm sorry, but it was.
I never told you that.
Oh, Christ, Ted, I was only four towns away.
Excuse me.
Oh, sure, sweetheart.
Oh, man, I gotta go. I gotta get up at 6 a.m. tomorrow, help my boss's brother move into his new apartment.
Your boss's brother? Who's that?
I don't even know. I never met him.
Uh-huh. You know, Ted, you gotta finish that novel so you can quit that stupid magazine.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
In Miami Beach, at the golf driving range, Mary hits a long drive.
Nice swing.
Beside her, Healy lines up a shot. It ricochets off his bucket of balls and drops a few yards in front of him.
Christ, hit a house. I haven't swung wrenches in a while.
Mary smiles kindly, then readies for another shot.
You mind giving me some pointers here?
Yeah, sure. Don't talk in someone's back.
Oh, thanks. I'm gonna go get a soda. You want one?
No, thanks.
He glances down at his change.
Oh, look, I'm sorry to bother you again, but, you got change of a dollar?
No.
All I got are these damn Nepalese coins.
She looks up, her lips parted in surprise.
You've been to Nepal?
Not in months. I don't even know why I bought the damn place.
Later, Mary carries her bag of clubs into the parking lot and finds Healy changing out of his cleats.
Nice meeting you again.
You too. Again.
Parked beside him, she sets down her golf bag.
So what's your name?
Pat Healy.
She opens the tailgate and smiles.
Want to know mine?
I already know it, Mary.
How'd you know that?
because it's right there in your golf bag.
Rolling her eyes, she chuckles at herself. Keeley opens his car door and tubes of rolled up paper fall out.
Wow, are those blueprints?
Oh, these? They're just some projects I'm working on. Museum. Hospital for kids.
Really? Are you an architect?
Just till I get my PGA tour card.
No, I mean, are they putting up some sort of a new museum in town, or is it...
I have to tell you the truth, I'm sort of burnt out on talking about it.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's just a job, really, you know, something to keep me moving. My real passion is my hobby.
Really? What's that?
I work with retards.
Her gaze falls away.
Isn't that a little politically, incorrect?
Oh, the hell with that. No one's going to tell me who I can and can't work with, right?
No, I mean...
We got this one kid, Mongo. He's got a forehead like a drive-in movie theater, but he's a good shit, so we don't bust his chops too much. So one day, Mongo gets out of his cage.
What, they keep him in a cage?
Well, it's just an enclosure.
No, but they keep him confined.
Right, yeah.
That's bullshit.
Well, that's what I said. So I went out and I got him a leash.
A leash?
Yeah, one of those ones you can hook onto the clothesline, and he can run back and forth, and there's plenty of room for him to dig and play. That kid is really, he's really blossomed, you know? Now I can take him to movies, baseball games, you know, fun stuff.
Smiling, she touches her hair. Yeah.
Sounds cool.
Oh, yeah, it's cool for them, but for me, it's much more than that. For me, it's heaven, you know? Those goofy bastards are just about the best thing I've got going in this crazy world.
Now, a man in a wheelchair watches Ted move a bureau.
Hey, dipshit, be careful with that thing, will ya? What? You heard me. You already put a fucking nick on my piano.
Oh, I'll try to be a little more careful.
Bureau on his back. Ted shuffles.
Hey, you whipping out on me?
Just this is a little bit heavy, that's all.
Heavy? What I wouldn't give to know what heavy feels like, you insensitive prick.
No, I didn't mean that.
Yeah, yeah, I'm going down the street to get some coffee.
A sign on his chair reads, coffee. How am I driving? Call 1-800-EAT-SHIT. Later, Ted sees a chiropractor.
Ow.
Tender fascial tissue left of L7. Hey, Bob. Remember Mary? Oh, yeah. I remember Mary. Hey, you know, I saw her a couple months ago at a convention in Las Vegas.
How could you see her at a convention?
You know, I'm a chiropractor. She's an orthopedic surgeon.
She's a what?
She's an orthopedic surgeon. And, oof. She's still a fox.
Now at Dom's office.
What if the families don't want a class action?
Oh, God, that's what I've been trying to explain to you people for the last hour, okay?
Ted bangs on a glass wall.
Mary's a fox!
What? Mary's a fox? What are you... Hey, folks, here, let's... We'll break up. We'll spitball this tomorrow, okay?
Go Ted over. Barges in.
What the hell are you talking about?
Mary? My Mary?
Huh?
She's not in Japan. She has no rugrats running around. My friend says she's a fox. A surgeon fox.
I don't get it. I don't know what you're talking about. I mean, Healy, what...
Think about it. He never even looked her up down there. He was there closing his deal with the Rice-A-Roni people the whole time.
Dom turns away, stroking his beard.
What's up with your head?
Huh? You get a little... I get hives. I'm tap dancing for these idiots. I get a little stressed out. Geez, you know, I feel like a royal shit because I set you up with this guy. Huh. You know what you gotta do? You gotta call her.
Fuck calling her. I'm going down there.
Yeah.
In Miami, okay. Magda grooms her lap dog.
So who's the lucky guy?
His name's Pat. Met him at the driving range.
Is he good looking?
He's no Steve Young.
Mary packs a handbag.
So, what is he like?
I don't know. Kind of a mook.
Well, why the hell are you going out with him?
Healy listens from his car.
Like that, Magda. You know, it's like that movie Harold and Maude.
I don't watch the new ones.
Well, you should, because it's probably the greatest love story of our time. The point is that love isn't about money or social standings or age. It's about two people connecting, having something in common. You know, kindred spirits.
Fuck kindred spirits. My little Puffy here is going to tell you everything you need to know about that guy in about 2 seconds flat. If Puffy starts yapping, he's a loser. If he likes him, honey, then you got yourself a keeper.
Healy nods. Later, he crouches quietly outside Mary's apartment door and peeks through the mail slot. Magda's dog bares its teeth. Healy opens up a bottle of pills, gets one tablet, and sticks it in a doggy treat. Grinning, he drops the treat through the mail slot, and the little terrier gobbles it up. Later, inside, Healy cradles the dog in his lap. The terrier dopily blinks its eyes.
Yeah. Buffer ball likes you want to rub his belly.
That is amazing. He doesn't like anybody. He never usually likes guys.
He doesn't like bad guys.
Is that right?
He can tell that you're an animal nut. You are, aren't you?
You got me pegged. You know, in Nepal, the villagers there call me Kintanti, which means noble man who is loved by many animal, who in kind he loveth too.
Magda fans herself.
Would you like a cup of tea or something?
I'd love a brewski if you got one.
We can do that.
Hey, Magda, why don't you help me in the kitchen?
Oh, yeah, certainly, of course. Kintanti.
Alone, Healy jiggles Puffer in his lap.
Puffer doesn't like bad guys, does he?
Lying on his back, the dog doesn't move.
Puffer.
His stiff leg sticks straight up. Healy Puffer. Gives him a little shake.
Puffer, come on, boy.
Would you like a little clam dip, doll?
No, thank you. I'd love a bundt cake if you have one.
Bundt cake?
In the living room, Healy does CPR on little Puffer.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
He blows into Puffer's mouth.
1, 2, 3.
Hey, Pat, do you want a Budweiser or a Heine?
Whatever. Come on, Puffer. Stay away from the light.
Mary puts back a light beer.
Okay, I'll just get you a regular.
Healy whips off his jacket and yanks the electrical cord out of a lamp. Sparks fly as he touches two ends of the live wire together, then gives Puffer a jolt. Puffer's little body jerks into the air. He lands on the couch, stiff as a board. Healy checks for a pulse, then zaps him again. No response. Panicked, Healy tiptoes toward the kitchen. On Puffer's stomach, the cords catch fire. Healy shakes Puffer's flaming body. Dropping him, Healy dumps the flowers out of a vase, then douses Puffer. Puffer comes to.
All we had was some Oreos. How does that sound, honey?
Magda stops in her tracks.
Oh, my God. He's got him wrapped up like a baby.
Healy holds Puffer in a towel.
Chilly.
Later, Healy strides down a street with Mary.
Well, here we are.
Museum?
Yeah.
I thought we were going to dinner.
Oh, we will, but first I have a surprise.
Surprise?
Yeah, it's the architecture exhibit.
Architecture exhibit?
Yeah.
I gotta eat something or I get the shakes.
Oh, no, come on. We'll eat in 20 minutes.
Really?
My friend Tucker is upstairs, and I want you to meet him. He's an architect, too. Come on. Yeah.
Inside, they walk by building models.
This is amazing. This just blows me away. What do you think this falls under? Is this Art Deco or is it Art Nouveau?
Deco. Deco, yeah.
It's beautiful. Is this a vestibule or is it a portico? What is the difference between the two?
When you're looking at architecture, try to visualize the buildings as a whole, you know? Try to see them in their natural state, in their totalitarianism, so to speak. Stone crab time. Let's go to Joe's, huh?
Hey, Tucker!
Women surround Tucker.
Mary! How are you?
Using metal crutches, he walks over and hugs her.
Oh,
Come on, like you mean it.
Tucker, this is my friend Pat Healy.
Oh, well, it's a pleasure to meet you, Patrick.
Same here.
Pat is an architect as well.
Oh, really? Oh, where are your offices?
Mainly I work out of Boston.
Boston, huh? Did you get your degree up there?
You bet.
Really? Where did you study?
Harvard.
Then you must have studied under Kim Green.
Well, among others.
You know, Pat does projects all over the world.
Really? Oh, where would I have seen your work?
Well, have you been to, let me see. Santiago, Chile?
Twice last year. Which building's yours?
Healy's gaze tightens.
Are you familiar with the soccer stadium?
Did you build the Estadio Olimpico?
No, just down the street, the Salento Caliente towers. It's quite a fine example, in fact. I recommend that next time you're up that way, that you drop in and take a gander at it yourself.
Tucker smiles faintly. Now, Ted drives at night. A guy with a big red duffel bag sits beside him.
Hey, thanks for picking me up, man.
Yeah, no problem. I've been driving for like 15 hours straight, so I could use the company.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I've been standing in the same spot for 5.5 hours. You know they made it illegal to hitchhike in this state?
Really? Oh, that must make it really tough.
So, what's going on with you? You a salesman, or...?
No, I'm nothing.
I am.
Yeah?
I'm a salesman. I'm gonna start my own company.
Really?
You want in?
I'm not, I don't really have any, you know, money or...
You heard of this thing, the 8-minute abs?
Yeah, sure, 8-minute abs, yeah, the exercise video. Uh-huh.
Yeah, well, this is gonna blow that right out of the water. Listen to this. 7-minute abs.
Right, yes. Okay, all right. I see where you're going.
Think about it. You walk into a video store, you see 8-minute abs sitting there. There's 7-minute abs right beside it. Which one are you going to pick, man?
I would go for the 7. Yeah, I'd go for
bingo,
the
man, 7. Bingo. 7-minute abs. And we guarantee just as good a workout as the 8-minute, folk.
You guarantee it? That's how do you do that?
If you're not happy with the first 7 minutes, we're going to send you the extra minute free. See, that's it. That's our motto. That's where we're coming from. That's from A to B.
That's right. That's good. That's good. Unless, of course, somebody comes up with 6-minute abs, then you're in trouble, huh?
The hitchhiker stares off for a moment, then closes his eyes and starts to twitch.
No! No, not 6. I said 7. Nobody's coming up with 6. Who works out in 6 minutes? You won't even get your heart going, not even a mouse on a wheel.
Good point.
7's the key number here. Think about it. 7-Elevens?
Yeah.
7 Dwarfs? 7, man, that's the number. 7 chipmunks twirling on a branch, eating lots of sunflowers on my uncle's ranch. You know that old children's tale from the sea? It's like you're dreaming about Gorgonzola cheese when it's clearly brie time, baby. Step into my office.
Why?
Because you're fucking fired.
Yeah, you know what? I gotta pee. I'm just gonna pull over.
No, your car seats are making me itchy, man. He's made out of cactus.
Ted stops at a rest area and gets out of his car.
Only waiting 7 minutes total.
Ted takes a look at the guy through the rear window, then heads for the woods. He trips and falls.
Wow! Oh, hey, wait your turn!
Kneeling, Ted faces a man's crotch.
Whoa.
Spotlights blaze on. All around him, men in their underwear scurry out of bushes as police cars converge.
This is a raid!
No! No, I was peeing!
That's what I was doing. I was just peeing.
I was peeing too!
Yeah, I'm sure you're all just pissing. Let's go. Let's move it out.
A TV crew films a dozen men getting arrested. A cop cuffs Ted's hands. Back at Ted's car, the hitchhiker gets out with his big red duffel. Glancing nervously up at the raid, he leaves his bag in the car, then runs off. Now, at home in front of his TV, Dom watches the raid on Live Cops.
Oh, my God. Ted?
Dom's wife raises her head from his lap and wipes her mouth.
If you just let me talk to you for one second in the truck, outside of the truck.
In the truck.
Look, I still have to pee, all right? I wasn't...
Get in the truck. Let's go. Let's go.
Listen. Can I have a cup?
See, hon, I told you he was gay.
We'll be right back with more Cops live from the Heartland.
Dom pushes his wife's head back down.
A veces pienso que aquí todo es seguridad.
Back in Miami, in the midst of a Mexican band, the lanky guitarist sings near the drummer. Healy strolls past festive booths with Mary, who eats blue cotton candy.
You know, that grandmother of yours is really something.
Who, Magda? No, Magda's not my grandmother. She rents the apartment next door. Her husband died a couple of years ago, and I don't think she really likes being alone. So now she just hangs out.
Doesn't cramp your style?
Sadly, no.
You know, sometimes I wish I could be like Magda, not go home. Yeah, I'd like to bounce around for a while and do some traveling.
I don't know why anybody would want to bounce around. You know, if they had their own condo in Nepal, I'd be there in a second.
I'd sell it.
Yeah?
Yeah, start fresh in a new place. Give up the architect game, slow things down a bit. Read more books, see more movies.
Are you a movie buff?
Well, I try to be, but it's tough going out there with all the crap they make today. I guess I just wish they made movies like they used to make. You know, classics like The Karate Kid or Harold and Maude.
Mary's full lips drop open.
Harold and Maude is my all-time favorite movie.
Don't bust my chops. I know it's corny, but I really like
it. Pat, I'm not kidding. I think that Harold and Maude is one of the greatest love
stories
of our time.
They share a long, intense gaze.
You're right, I thought I was the only one. You're too good to be true. Come on, let's go dance.
Now in a police interrogation room, Ted plays with a microphone.
Man, they never look like you'd expect, do they?
Two cops watch him through a one-way window.
That's probably how he got his victim to drop his guard.
Where'd they find the body?
In a big red bag on the front passenger seat. All hacked up. Gruesome. Real psycho, this one.
Hey, you're a little worked up. Let me do the talking.
They head in. One sips coffee from a Dunkin' Donuts cup.
I'm Detective Stabler. This is Cravoy.
Yeah, look, I didn't solicit any sex, okay? I mean, this is a huge misunderstanding. I was really going out to pee. I'm walking in the bushes. I trip over this guy, and all of a sudden, there are all these cops, and there are helicopters.
Ted, it's okay. We believe you.
Detective Stabler sits down. Ted hesitates, then does the same. The other cop stands, frowning.
Problem is, we found your friend in the car.
Oh, the hitchhiker? That's what this is about, the hitchhike?
Oh, great. Just my luck. I get caught for everything.
So, you admit it?
Yeah. Guilty as charged. Look, I know that you guys got a job to do, all right? And I'm really sorry. I did it. I admit it. You know, the guy even told me, the hitchhiker told me it was illegal.
Leaning next to Ted, Detective Cravoy plants his fists on the table.
Can you tell us his name?
No, I didn't catch it. Can we cut to the chase? I mean, am I, like, in a lot of trouble here?
First, tell us why you did it.
Why I did it? I don't know. Boredom? Guy turns out to be a blabbermouth, just would not shut up. I mean, they just...
Ted, this wasn't your first time, was it?
No.
How many are we talking here?
Hitchhikers? My whole life? I don't know. 25? 50? I mean, who keeps track? Hey, you know, I know this is the Bible Belt and everything, but where I come from, this is not... that big a deal. I mean,
you son of a bitch. You're gonna fry.
Cravoy slams Ted's head on the table.
Take it easy. Stop. 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 Take it easy. You okay?
The hell is wrong with you?
Ted falls to the floor. Miami Beach, Mary strides toward an office building. Healy watches from the upper floor of a parking garage. Wearing a maroon shirt and clashing red pants, he reads a newspaper as he plants an antenna on the trunk of his Chrysler convertible. In an office, Mary stands by a secretary.
Your friend Tucker stopped by.
Really?
Okay.
Hey, what does it look like today?
It's fine. A little crazy in the afternoon.
Healy listens through an earphone.
Hey, Tucker.
Wooden tongue depressors hang from his mouth like fangs.
You look different. Did you do something with your hair?
The teeth. The teeth. I got them capped.
Oh, yeah. Hey, they look great.
You don't think they look a little big?
No, not at all. The bigger, the better.
Hmm.
But I must say, they could be a little brighter.
There's nothing more sexy to me than a guy with a mouthful of big, pearly whites.
Healy checks his teeth in his sunglasses.
Here. You've had one up the hatch in here.
Tucker, behave yourself.
I'm sorry.
Tucker removes the tongue depressors.
What can I do for you today, my friend?
I wanted to talk to you about your friend, Patrick.
He's a nice guy, huh?
Well, that's what I'm trying to figure out, Mary. How long have you known him?
Not very long, but I like him. Well, I know he's a little different, but that's what I like about him. He's like he dresses like a complete dork. He chews with his mouth open. He hardly ever says the right thing. And
probably farts, too.
Healy nods.
That's what you're looking for, is it? A farter?
No, I'm looking for a guy.
Look, it's just that something struck me as strange about him last night. He gave me this funny vibe. Anyway, I called some friends up north, and they've never heard of an architect named Patrick Healy. And he's not listed as a Harvard alumnus. Fuck!
Really? That's strange.
Yes, I thought so. Anyway, I hope you don't think I'm being meddlesome. It's just that I think you should be careful with this guy, that's all. I mean, let's face it, you're beautiful and you've got money and you trust people. I'm just saying, there's a lot of psychos out there.
Healy bangs the trunk of his car.
Look, Tucker, thank you. I really appreciate you looking out for me.
Okay, listen, I'll call you.
As Tucker walks off using his metal crutches, he drops his keys. He bends over to reach for them, but his crutches keep his arms a few feet from the floor.
You want me to get this for you?
No, I have to learn to do this myself.
He tries again, but loses his balance and wobbles back and forth.
Damn.
His right leg starts to shake and Mary goes over.
Meg, could you, Mary?
She holds his leg still. And his left hand starts to spasm.
Wait.
She pushes the keys under his reaching hand.
There.
Just inches away, Tucker's hand twitches violently. Mary lifts the keys into a shaky grasp. Tucker straightens.
See?
Yeah.
I knew I could do it.
I see.
Mary gets the door.
Spider. Jane, can you get the door for Tucker, please? Do you want me to...
I've done this a thousand times.
He twists spasmodically. Now at a jail, Detective Stabler and Crevoy stand by a bespectacled man.
Mr. Strowman, on behalf of the entire South Carolina law enforcement community, I would like to apologize to you for any pain or temporary inconvenience that you may have been caused.
Ted lies in a bunk with a burly tattooed man. Later, the officers lead Ted out of jail.
This morning, a man was apprehended not far from where you were arrested. He was identified as an escaped mental patient, and subsequently, he confessed to the murder you're being held for. Lab tests confirm a fingerprint match.
You mean I'm free to go?
Crevoy extends a hand.
No harm, no foul.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, there's someone there to see you.
Prisoners cheer as Ted steps out of jail. Later, Dom drives Ted's car down a flat highway. Ted sits beside him, sipping a cup of coffee.
You are a lucky son of a bitch, you know that?
I am.
Yeah. Didn't they tell you? That hitcher you picked up was about to cut your throat before you decided to take a piss. Had a fucking horseshoe up your ass, my man.
Dom scratches his face, marked with a few flaky sores.
You got that nervous hive thing again?
Yeah. Yeah, I do, Ted. Because I got some bad news.
Are you okay?
Dom draws a deep breath.
Ted, I'm dying.
Ted stares gloomily at his friend.
Oh, my...
Ted, I'm not dying, man. Come on. Jesus, it's just the humidity down here. Mm. It's like, come on. No. No, Ted, the bad news I got is about our friend Healy. I sent my assistant down to his apartment with his last paycheck. The landlady said when he came back from Miami, he kept talking about falling for some doctor named Mary.
Mary? Mm. My Mary?
Well, Ted, here's Healy's address down there. And in the future, do a little research before you send a guy like that out into the woods. I mean, Jesus Christ, it's creepy, okay?
Now it marries.
You're not seriously thinking about going out with this guy again.
Mary, honey, he's a psycho.
Mary, the guy's full of shit.
Jesus, this sucks. It's too bad this had to happen. He was almost perfect.
Mary, what did you say Pat's last name was?
Healy.
Come here. Come here. Come on. You gotta hear this.
What?
Mary and her girlfriend surround Magda's scanner.
How are you, Julie? I got a date tonight with that Mary girl I told you about.
The Sawbones?
Yep.
Ooh. Oh, my God. We hit the mother load. You guys, should we be listening to this?
Do you still think you're a fucking architect?
Oh, yeah.
Dumb shit.
Mr. Perfect, huh?
Hey, watch your mouth. She's a great gal, Mary. I'm the dumb shit for lying to her.
Just tell her the truth.
Healy reads from a paper.
I don't know. I guess it just seems that women today are more impressed by the almighty buck than some schmo who spent the last 17 years scraping by on Peace Corps wages.
What?
Jesus, Pat. If she's as special as you say, she's going to want to hear about the things you did. You could tell her about the irrigation ditches you dug in Sudan, the orphan babies who cried in your arms and...
Sully reads from a notepad.
Romania. The hope you gave... Freddie, the leper in Calcutta.
I'll be honest with you. I'm a selfish prick. I get a high from helping all God's creatures.
He kills a fly.
An honest to goodness high. I did all those things myself.
Sully's dog steals his notes.
That's bullshit, man. Hey, you were on the front line. You remember the malaria? The typhoon fever, that vicious strain of genital herpes.
Ooh, yum.
Healy clenches his phone with a tight frown.
Yeah, I cured all sorts of horrible illnesses in third world countries. Ooh. But the bottom line is, I'm not going to use my philanthropy as some kind of currency, especially after what I did. I lied to that poor girl. Lied, man.
Well... Love will make you do fucked up things.
You said it, mister. I gotta run.
We're dicks.
Mm-hmm. Later, Healy walks up to Mary's door.
Mary? Hello?
He waves to her friends.
Mary, look. Look, there's something I have to tell you. I'm not the architect.
She hushes him with a strong kiss.
Is she really going with him?
At Warren's school, Healy plays flag football.
Jimmy,
I'm open. Hit me. Come on.
Healy catches a pass, then runs, punching out defenders. Jogging backwards, he holds the ball just out of Warren's reach, taunting him. Warren misses a tackle and Healy spikes the ball.
Exceptional, my ass.
Later, he plays checkers with Warren. Nearby, a guy falls out of a tree. As Warren looks over at the guy on the ground, Healy cheats and moves a checker, then jumps four of Warren's men.
Looks like I double jumped you, Warren, for the win. Hey up, big guy.
The guy who fell brings over a coconut.
Coconut.
Yeah, very good. Coconut.
Healy counts Warren's money.
Where's the rest of it, Warren?
Another day. As Mary opens her door, Healy stuns her with a gleaming mouthful of big cap teeth. Later, outside Mary's office building, Ted and Dom spy on her and Healy.
Look at her. She's more beautiful than I remember.
Huh?
She's
perfect.
Thanks for picking up the lunch, Ted, Mayor. Sorry I forgot my wallet. I feel like a dog.
Don't worry about it, sir. It was fun.
Warren lingers nearby as Toothy Healy pulls Mary into a deep kiss.
Ugh, fuck me.
Whoa, how's my stomach taste?
How's my stomach taste, she says.
Holy shit, look, there's Warren.
Rice and beans! Rice and beans!
Warren, come on, you just ate.
Hey, leave him alone, he's just got a big appetite. Isn't that right, Warren?
Huh?
He moves Warren's headphones, and Warren slugs him. Healy falls back, clutching his throat.
Oh, yes. Uh-huh.
Listen, you can't touch his ears unless he trusts you. I'm sorry. Are you okay?
Not to worry. So I'll see you tonight, right?
Sure.
They exchange a quick kiss. Then she helps Warren with his Walkman.
You okay?
He broke it.
I saw.
Okay. All right, come on. What are you waiting for? Let's go.
What? What? I don't know what to say.
What are you talking about? Just tell her the truth about Healy. Blow the schmuck out of the water. Come on.
No, I can't. I unleashed the psycho on her. She's going to be fucking pissed.
Mary! No. Mary!
Ted ducks behind a big metal sculpture. Mary looks over.
Mary?
Warren waves to Ted.
Mary? Is that... That's it. It is you.
Who is that?
Hi, it's Ted.
Ted?
Yeah, Ted from Rhode Island. Ted.
Ted?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Ted!
Hey, good. How are you?
Good to see you.
Good to see you, too.
How you been?
I'm...
I haven't seen you since...
Yeah, since...
Senior prom.
That's right, senior prom. Yeah. You got a great memory. Oh, man, that was... I haven't thought about that in years. Yeah.
So, how's everything? Everything,
yeah. Oh, that's fine. You know, I was in and out of the hospital a couple of weeks. It was not a big deal at all. Now I'm good.
Strong like bull.
Really good. Hey, hi, Warren.
Hi, Ted.
How are you?
She turns down Warren's Walkman.
I can't believe that he remembers
piggy
you.
Piggy bet ride?
Oh, piggy bet. No, you know what? I'll take a rain check this time. Okay.
He never remembers anybody. It's amazing.
So what are you doing here?
This is my office. Well, wow. It's up there.
Really?
I was just out on my my lunch break with Warren. It's crazy. What are you doing here?
Well, that's a funny story.
Yeah?
I got in the car with my friend, and we just, we came down to Florida, right?
Right. Well, you look great. You look really good. I mean, what's the story? Are you married? Do you have kids? What's the deal?
No, dodged a few bullets.
Yeah?
And, God, this is just so bizarre. I mean, I'm standing here with Mary Jensen.
No, it's Mary Matthews.
Oh, did you...
No, I haven't walked down that plank yet, no. But it was this thing in college, this creepy guy who, anyhow, it was restraining order, got kind of ugly, and after Princeton, I just decided, you know what, be cautious, change your name, just kind of leave that behind.
Right, that's
need that.
That sounds horrible.
It was, but it's over, I think, so it's good.
Hey, what are you doing tonight? Do you think maybe you want to go out to dinner, you know, catch up on old times?
Didn't we just do that? I'm fucking with you, Ted.
Oh.
No, listen, I'd like to. It'd be great, but I sort of already have plans tonight.
Oh.
But I'm free tomorrow night.
Yeah, sure. Or, you know, or you could just blow off that jerk you're going out with tonight and come out with me.
Her hesitant smile grows wider.
What hotel are you staying at?
The Cardoza.
Pick you up at 8?
Sure.
Okay.
Okay.
Cool. See you.
Bye.
The lanky guitarist strolls away from a hot dog stand.
Ted and Mary like before. Can you see her as Ted sees her? And why he couldn't wait no more? And if you still think he's being silly, then you've still got more to see. 'Cause this isn't just a date, folks. This is chemistry and Mary. Well, there's just something about Mary.
At night, Healy sits in his car parked near Mary's apartment building. Wearing an earphone, he listens to Mary and Magda inside.
Banana, banana! We're gonna be buying bananas tonight! Whoa.
Why is that?
Because back when I was your age, I always used to make myself a big banana split after sex. I think you're gonna need one tonight.
Oh, don't get ahead of yourself, Magda. You'll probably be eating a banana split before I do.
Don't bet on it.
Magda's dog tongues her mouth.
Last time I had a pap smear, the guy needed leather gloves and an oyster shucker. I am a little psyched.
Healy grins.
I ran into this guy I haven't seen since high school.
An old flame?
Kind of. Ted Stroman. Sweetest guy in the world. I mean, he was so cute. He was so shy and clumsy, and he had this huge mouth full of metal. You know how I like braces. Anyhow, we're going out tonight.
No!
Oh, God, that reminds me. I have to call and cancel with what's-his-face.
What's-his-face?
Mary steps to the door.
Who is it?
Tucker.
Tucker.
Hello, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Oh, look who's here.
There she is. I brought you a little thirst quencher, Mag.
Oh, are you sweet.
No, I'm not. I just want to get you drunk so you'll pass out and I can give Mary a good rogering.
You want me to pour you one?
Thanks, but I have to be going. Unfortunately, this is not a social visit.
Really? What's up?
Well, I've got a little more news about your friend Healy.
Tucker, everything's okay. He confessed everything. He told me he's not an architect. You were right. But right now, I'm kind of actually running behind.
Mary, the man's a killer.
What?
Yes. I have a friend in the Boston Police Department. He faxed me this morning. I'll just give you the highlights. After a short stint as a petty thief, Patrick R. Healy graduated to armed robbery by the age of 14. At 16, he committed his first murder, a pretty teacher's aide named Molly Pettigrove. He was incarcerated until the age of 22, when, despite a grim psychological profile, the state was forced to release him. In his mid-20s, and again in his early 30s, he was suspected of homicides in the states of Utah and Washington. Unfortunately, the bodies were so badly decomposed, there wasn't enough evidence to hold him, and so on and so forth.
Healy nods.
You guys, what am I gonna do? I'm supposed to meet this guy in an hour.
Well, just calm down. Everything's going to be fine. Don't worry.
Tucker.
Why you two never hooked up is beyond me.
I'm so lucky to have you as a friend.
Yes, well, don't get all gooey on me now. You're going to give me a big head. The important thing, Doctor, is you have to distance yourself as much as possible without pissing this psycho off.
Okay. All right, I know what I'm going to do. I know what I'm going to do. Where's the phone?
Tucker leaves her apartment building, gripping his crutches as he steps bow-legged down a few steps, then turns left onto a sidewalk. Watching from his car, Healy shakes his head.
You're gonna pay, fucker.
He drives slowly after Tucker, pausing to watch him struggle into a rusty old hatchback. Tucker drops stiffly into the driver's seat. Now, in his hotel room, Ted paces near Dom.
I don't know, Dom. I don't feel good. I feel nervous. I really feel nervous.
Oh, come on. Relax.
Relax.
Been to the cash machine?
Yeah.
Car clean?
Uh-huh.
Plenty of gas?
Uh-huh.
Breath. How's your breath?
It's fine. I had some Altoids.
All right. I think you're all set. So just go clean the pipes and it's a go.
Huh?
You know, clean the pipes.
What do you mean, clean the pipes?
You choke the chicken before any big date, don't you? Tell me you spanked the monkey before any big date.
Ted shrugs.
Oh, my God, he doesn't flog the dolphin before a big date. No. Are you crazy? That's like going out there with a loaded gun. Of course that's why you're nervous. Oh, my dear friend, please sit. Please. Look, after you've had sex with a girl, And you're lying in bed with her. Are you nervous?
No.
No, you're not. Why?
Because I'm tired.
Wrong. It's because you ain't got the baby batter in the brain anymore. Jesus, that stuff will fuck your head up. Oh, look. The most honest moment in a man's life are the few minutes after he's blown his load. Now, that is a medical fact. And the reason for it is that you're no longer trying to get laid. You're thinking like a girl. And girls love that.
Holy shit. I've been going out with a loaded gun.
People get hurt that way.
Now, Tucker pulls his rusty hatchback into a driveway, hops out, and strides easily to the back of his car. Slipping off his blazer, he reveals a red windbreaker underneath. He pops open the hatchback, tosses in his blazer and glasses, then puts on a delivery cap. He gets out two insulated pizza boxes, closes the hatchback, and walks across the lawn. In his car, Healy barrels over the grass toward him.
Healy, I'm smashing the seal.
Healy slams him against the hood of his car.
Who the fuck do you think you are thinking that shit up about me?
It's that stalker, Ted. He got a hold of you, didn't he? You're working for him, aren't you? Shit.
Healy throws him down, then grabs him by the hair.
Either you come clean or I'm gonna kick your fucking ass.
I love her, man.
What?
You heard me, goddammit. I love Mary, man. I'm a phony, just like you.
What do you mean?
I mean, I'm a fucking fraud. I'm no architect. Don't be a putz, man. Who's been to San Diego, Chile twice in 1 year? I've never even been in Jersey.
Okay, just take it easy. Wait a minute. You knew those people back at Harvard.
Fuck, I knew shit, man. The only thing I knew was that you were a fake. And I made up everything else. My real name's Norm. I'm a pizza delivery boy. Here. Look, here's my ID.
Healy gapes at his picture and reads Tony Wang's Peking Pizza.
Fuck me.
Back at Ted's hotel. On the bathroom counter, a two-page newspaper ad shows busty women in skimpy bras. Leaning over it, Ted jerks off frantically. Down in the lobby, Dom strides outside where Mary stands by a cab. Dom strolls away. In the bathroom, Ted feverishly pumps his arm. Mary strolls into the lobby wearing a snug red dress. Dom watches her and scratches his head. In the bathroom, Ted squeezes his eyes shut for a moment, then opens his mouth, gasping for air. Ted grabs a towel. Curious, he looks at his hands, then pulls up his sleeves.
Where the hell did it go?
Hang on! Wait a second!
He checks under the newspaper and scans the floor as he fastens his pants. Heading out, he glances up at the ceiling and feels above the door, then brushes off the front of his pants. In the hall, he lets out a deep breath, then opens the door to Mary.
Hey,
hello.
Hey.
Good, how are you?
Good.
Good.
You're looking very beautiful.
Thank you. What is that?
White goo hangs from his left ear.
On your ear.
Ear?
No, your left ear. Is that?
Is that a hair gel?
Yeah.
Great. Yeah.
I could use
No, 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 don't, you don't have to. You don't.
I just ran out.
She fingers it through her bangs. Later in a bar.
How are we doing over here?
Okay.
A little more wine?
Sure. So when you say, killer, you mean...
He's a murderer.
Her bangs stick straight up.
Convicted murderer?
He killed people. I know, it's crazy.
And what, did he ever go to jail?
In Boston. He spent, I don't know how long,
and
but
he just got out?
Well, it's obviously. I mean, the system sucks. I mean, the guy's walking the streets. I'm kissing him.
Right, but you didn't do anything else, right?
What?
I mean, you didn't...
No, God, I couldn't live with myself.
I
only went out with him a couple times, but, you know, it's like, just the thought of that. I shouldn't be putting this all on you. I'm sorry. We haven't seen each other in so long. It's like...
No, it's...
You know,
it's
I'm just like...
I feel really bad.
I'm tired of talking about stalkers. Let's talk about you. Are you okay? Yeah? Do you want some water?
No, I'm good.
Now in a strip club.
Hey, Tracy, how are the twins?
Fuck you, Norm.
I like it when you talk dirty to me, man.
Healy puts money on the bar.
Here you go, big guy. Come on, cough it up, choppers.
Healy gives him another dollar, then looks over at Norm. His delivery cap sits on the bar.
How the hell did you meet Mary?
It was just dumb luck, really. I delivered a pie to her one night, and she answered the door in her nightgown, and wow. That was it for me. I went home that night, shaved my beard, and a week later, I'm laid out in her office with a broken back.
Broken back? How'd you do that?
A friend. Baseball bat.
Touché.
Now at the golf range with Ted, Mary finishes a corn dog.
You want another one?
Sure. Yeah.
Hey, Docky. Couple more nitrate sickles, please.
Two corn dogs coming up.
You know, I don't think that they have enough meats on sticks. No, seriously.
Really?
I mean, if you think about it, they have plenty of sweets, right?
Yes.
They have lollipops, they have fudgesicles, they have popsicles, but they don't have any other meat on sticks.
Yes, you don't see that many meats on sticks.
No, and absolutely not.
You know what I'd like to see? I'd like to see more meat in a cone. You don't hardly ever see that, you know?
That's
just that's an idea that I think is waiting to pop. Just like a nice, you know, nice big... oversized waffle cone stuffed full of chopped liver. Exactly.
It's too bad you don't live here, Ted.
Yeah?
Yeah, we have a lot in common.
Well, you know, maybe, have you ever thought about maybe moving back up to Rhode Island?
I thought about it, but I got too much of a good thing going on here. I got a great practice, like the people I work with, and Warren. You know, maybe you should just, like, move down here and marry me.
Later, outside her building, they sit on the roof of his car.
So you're a writer?
Yeah, well, I'm trying to be.
He smokes a joint.
Well, the good thing about writing is you can do it anywhere.
It's true. How about you? How did you manage to stay single all these years?
Well, I'm bisexual, so that's... hard for a lot of guys to understand.
Well,
she takes a toke.
You know, I read somewhere that most women are, if you really ask them honestly, have tendencies towards... I mean, everybody has
Ted,
a bit of...
I'm fucking with you.
Yeah. Healy and Norm watch.
Stalking motherfucker.
I know. It sickens me.
Actually, I did almost get married once.
Mm-hmm. What happened?
Well, he was a really great guy.
Mm-hmm.
He lived up north, and,
come on, let's go.
Healy and Norm sneak off. In the backyard, Norm sticks a pill in a snack.
There you go.
Healy throws it through a window. It lands in Mary's apartment, on the couch where Magda relaxes with her dog, Puffer. They wear cucumber slices on their eyes. Puffer's slices fall off as he eats the snack. Healy hurls two more inside.
Wait, how many is this? Four. That seems like an awful lot of speed to give one little pooch. Are you sure it won't kill him?
I never said that.
Healy shrugs and tosses up the fourth one. It lands in Magda's drink. She takes a long sip.
Oh, good, 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 good.
And so?
Back with Ted and Mary.
Then it was over. We really haven't spoken since.
Hmm. Wow, sounds like he was almost perfect.
Hmm. Almost. Hey, you want to go upstairs and watch Sports Center?
You know, I think I'm just going to quit while I'm ahead.
You're not that far ahead, Ted.
She smiles jokingly. Ted follows her up to her apartment.
Magda!
She vacuums the sofa.
What are you doing? I'm just straightening up.
Magda lifts an end of the sofa with one hand and vacuums underneath it.
Put that down!
Mary helps her hold it up.
Magda!
Magda lets go.
Thanks, Dolly.
Mary collapses with the weight.
Magda! Honey, where is Puffy?
Oh, he was being a pest, so I put him in the bathroom.
Really? Ted?
Hmm?
Can you do me a favor? Would you mind letting the dog out of the bathroom? Because I think I should have a talk with Magda here.
Sure, yeah.
A rack hanging on the bathroom door shakes.
Wait.
Ted slowly approaches.
What's going on?
I'm more clean.
Yeah.
He flinches as the rack shakes loose.
Mary?
Huh?
What kind of dog is Puffy?
Border Terrier.
Border Terrier. Like, Benji.
Oh.
Ted opens the door and peeks in, his face drawn in a cautious frown. Little Puffer sits on the bathroom rug.
Hey.
Ted bends down.
Hey. Are you the little guy making all that big noise, huh?
Ted makes a kissy face and Puffer lunges. Thrown on his back, Ted yanks Puffer off his face and hurls him across the room. Ted crawls away and Puffer grabs his pant leg. Ted claws the floor as Puffer drags him. Ted puts the little dog in a chokehold and slams him down. Puffer latches onto Ted's throat, sending him flailing into the kitchen. Ted rolls across the counter, then drops to the floor. Ted tries a two-finger eye poke, but Puffer blocks it with his paw. Ted flings him away, and Puffer springs for his crotch. As Ted spins in agony, Puffer dangles from his pants. Ted tears him off, then shoos him back with a feather duster. Puffer leaps. Ted ducks, and the dog flies out the window. As Mary and Magda run out, Ted collapses. Daytime. Ted carries Puffer in a full body cast. Holding groceries in the other arm, he sets the dog on the roof of Mary's SUV.
You want a grape?
A grape, sure.
Mary lobs a grape, and Ted catches it in his mouth.
All met. We make a good team.
Ted grins, and Mary smiles back. Later, Mary parks her Dodge Durango. Puffer still stands on the roof. Ted gets out and stretches, then notices the dog up where he left him. Ted hardly takes him down. Later, in a batting cage, Mary takes a few swings. Then Ted steps up to bat. Warren watches from behind a fence. Ted invites him in, then helps him get into position.
Get in closer. That's good. Good. Don't be afraid. Get right in there. A little bit more. Good.
No, you're
it'll
not.
Be fine.
The first ball nails him. Mary rushes over and Ted swears. Later, they sit outside. Ted shakes his head and Mary reassures him with a smile. Warren sports a black eye and eats an ice cream cone. Later, Ted and Warren horse around as they head down a sidewalk. In a store window, Warren sees a superhero costume. Later, he comes out of the store wearing it, a pink unitard with a matching cape and mask. He pretends to fly, then stops, noticing a cowboy costume.
No.
Later, he comes out wearing that. Ted wears the pink superhero costume. Flipping back his cape, Ted musters a smile and stiffly moves his arms like he's flying. Later at an amusement park raceway, Warren takes off in a go-kart. Ted and Mary drive after him. Going the wrong way, Warren drives between them. Warren stands by his overturned go-kart. His pants are on fire. A man puts out the flames with an extinguisher. Ted starts to help Warren with his helmet, and Warren swats him away. Later, Warren fishes from a rock jetty. Watching from a nearby path, Ted and Mary wave to him, then turn to each other and share a laugh. Mary gently slides her hand down Ted's chest to his hand, and he strokes her hair. As Warren casts, his lure hooks Ted by the lip. A crowd gathers around Ted as he lies on the ground, writhing in pain. A three-pronged hook pokes through his cheek.
I know. Does anybody have any pliers, needle nose, otherwise? Anything?
Later in her apartment, Mary sits at a table reading a letter. Ted jogs up to her door, knocks, then heads in.
Hey! Flowers are for you. Ball is for Warren. Had a friend FedEx it from Boston, signed by Tony Conigliaro.
Did you hire Pat Healy to spy on me?
What? What are you talking about?
I got an anonymous letter. It's not true, right, Ted?
Well, it's an interesting thing that happened. Yeah, it's true, but it's not.
Okay. Get out.
Mary, wait, first of all, I didn't know that this guy was.
What, that he was a murderer?
That? Yeah, in addition to many other things. I mean, I didn't know anything about the guy. The guy, I hardly know him.
How could you do that, Ted? How could you have some guy you don't even know spy on me? What were you trying to do? Trick me into feeling something for you?
Her eyes glisten.
No, I didn't want to trick you.
Just leave, okay?
Mary.
Go.
Ted turns away, still holding the flowers. After a few plodding steps, he pauses with his back to her.
I did it because I never stopped thinking about you. And if I didn't find you, I knew that my life would never, ever be good again.
He heads for the door.
She said, don't worry, baby. I'll do my own crying. I'm a big girl now.
Mary chokes back a sob.
Now I'm gonna be okay.
Outside, Ted tosses away the flowers and hurls the baseball. He takes a note out of his pants pocket. 229 Court Street, apartment 43. Later, Ted parks his car in front of a modest apartment complex, then heads up to apartment 43.
Hey! Healy! You in there?
The door opens a crack.
Hello?
Ted steps into the dim apartment and stops near two piles of dog poop.
Ew.
Laundry clutters the filthy room. Suddenly, Ted hides behind the door.
And it was going along just fine until you showed up.
Norm and Healy stroll in.
Holy shit!
It's a pretty nice place.
Sully, what the fuck happened?
Ted slugs him.
Hey, surprise!
Oh, Ted wields a vodka bottle.
You fucked me,
wait,
man.
Look, come on. Look, man, look, don't do anything rash now, buddy. Hmm?
Who the fuck is this guy?
That's Norm. He's a pizza boy. He's in love with Mary, too.
Look, come on, man. All right, look. I think everybody could use a drink right now.
I don't want a drink.
Fuck you!
Oh, hey, look. You asked me to follow around your girl, and I did. And then the truth is, I started to like her. And that's when I realized I couldn't in good conscience bring myself to do it.
Do what?
Turn her over to a violent stalker.
Oh, I'm a stalker. You're calling me a violent stalker?
Oh, yeah, sure.
You're a sick fuck.
Hey, fuck you.
Fuck you!
You just can't take the fact that it was my turn.
Your turn?
Yeah, that's right, my turn. Why can't I ever get a girl like Mary?
Yeah, well, just because you didn't get her, you didn't have to blow us both out of the water.
What are you talking about?
You're gonna tell me you didn't write her an anonymous letter telling her about our whole deal together?
What letter?
Norm winks as he holds out glasses.
It was you.
Norm backs away.
You sent the letter. It was you. We had a deal. You said you wouldn't fuck me, and I wouldn't fuck you until we got this fuck out of the fucking picture. You crossed the line, man.
Whoa, man. You're getting crazy now. Why would I cross the line? You probably did it yourself, you piece of shit.
Oh, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Why would I rat myself out?
Like I'm gonna try to figure out some guy whose idea of courting is blowing farts in her face.
Mm-hmm. You were following us.
Don't flatter yourself. I was following her. I always do. How the hell do you think I got rid of the last guy, Brett?
Wait, Brett? Are you saying that Brett didn't say those things about Warren?
Are you shitting me? Mr. Goody Two-Shoes? He was like an Eagle Scout. Wait a minute. You two should be kissing my fucking hairy beanbag, you know? Because if it wasn't for me, she might have married that schmuck.
I feel sick. Both of you are just... I'm out of here.
Yeah. Norm raises a glass as Ted leaves. Now at home, Mary mopes around her apartment.
Woogie?
The hell is Woogie?
Dom sits on her bed, his face blistered with pustules.
Hello.
What are you doing here?
Did you get my letter, Mare? One about Ted?
You sent that?
Mm-hmm. I was worried about you.
Woogie, you know you're not supposed to be within 400 yards of me.
Oh, yeah, no, I do. In fact, you know, that's what I really wanted to talk to you about. You know that I have actually been through 9 years of intensive psychotherapy. And you know something? You were absolutely right. I needed help.
That's great, Woogie. I mean, I'm glad you're doing better. You look good. Except for the rash thing's still there, right?
Yes. You noticed, huh? These are called love blisters. They went away for a little while, but then you came back in my life, milady, huh?
Woogie, I did not come back into your life. Okay, I don't even know how you found me. Let's not forget here, you put me through a lot of bullshit, okay? I had to change my name, I had to go to court, I moved. I mean, you stole all of my shoes.
What? What are you talking about?
Woogie, I caught you red-handed.
I was in a weird place then, Mary. Come on.
Scratching, he trails after her.
Come on. Give me a break here, okay? I was a little nuts, a little, but I'm fine.
Woogie, you're starting to make me a little nervous.
Ooh, I'm making you feel nervous. Nervous? What's that? I wouldn't know anything about nervous. Ugh, geez. You ever had a whitehead on your eyeball, Mary?
Woogie, I'm asking you to leave.
Oh, Mary, you got this all wrong. I'm not going anywhere. Mm-mm.
Not until I get something to remember you by.
Norm and Healy race in. They find Dom on the floor clutching her shoes.
Stop it!
Just one pair, you owe me that, you heartless bitch!
Norm and Healy drag him to his feet, then shove him onto the couch. Dom hugs an armload of shoes.
Oh. Dom? You're pathetic.
Tucker, what happened to your crutches?
That's a very good query, Mary. Well done.
Come on. Tell her the truth, pizza boy.
Name's Norm. I live with my folks up in Pompano.
Ted walks in.
Oh, man, this is like group therapy or something.
Dom, what are you doing here? You stole her from me, and now I want her back. I stole her from you? What are you talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Woogie, how many times did I tell you this at Princeton?
Woogie?
Ted and I had one date. You and I were already broken up.
You're Woogie?
Dom Woganowski.
You're married. You have a wife, beautiful kids.
Ted, if you love him so much, please be my guest.
All right, what the hell is going on here?
Magda walks in with an old geezer putting on his shirt.
Look, we're all in love with Mary.
Oh, God.
If I may, I have a proposal. I say none of us leaves this room until our young Mary here stops jerking us around and decides once and for all who she really wants.
Norm raises his hand.
Now, Mary, I know this is tough. But you really will be doing them all a great favor to tell them the truth about us.
Are you crazy? What makes you think I would pick you anyhow? I mean, you're a murderer.
I may have been blowing a little smoke up your ass there, Mary.
A brawny guy comes in with Warren on his back.
Touchdown!
Hi, Mary.
Brett?
What the hell is Brett Favre doing here?
I'm in town to play the Dolphins, you dumbass. Yeah, I called him, Mary. I told him to pick up Warren and get down here. See, your friend Tucker was lying about a couple of other things. Brett never said those bad things about Warren. He loves Warren. And from what he told me on the phone just now, he loves you, too. He's the guy you should be with.
Oh, God.
That's right, Mayor. You know I'll always be true to you.
Oh, shit, this isn't fair.
Jesus. You know, I feel like an idiot. See, I realized something today. I'm no better than any of these guys. I mean, none of them love you, really. They're just... fixated on you because of how you make them feel about themselves. I mean, that's not real love. That's... I don't know what that is.
Please. Mary, don't listen to him. This is just another one of his stupid little ploys.
You know, Strowman, you are so full of shit.
Yeah, you're the biggest stalker of the show, man.
You're gonna stand here and tell me that you're not nuts about this girl?
Yeah, that's what I'm telling you.
Oh.
Hey, good luck, Brett. Yeah, thank you. She's a great gal. Take care of her. I'll see you, Mary.
Hey, Ted.
Ted lifts up one of Warren's earphones.
Hey, Warren. See you later.
Okay, goodbye, Ted.
Ted winks at Mary and leaves.
Goodbye.
God, Mary, I've missed you.
Hey, Brett. What are the chances I could get you to give me a little autograph on this pump here, huh? Something nice to the wife and kids.
What?
Oh, shut up. Cock tease.
Outside, Ted wipes his nose on his hand. Ted trudges down the sidewalk, pausing to wipe his eyes. Staring down at the ground, he walks by the lanky guitarist and drummer. The drummer shakes his head and brushes away a tear.
Well, she's back with her old boyfriend. He don't challenge her, he
don't contend with her, and she don't answer the cards you send. And you're jealous of the time that he spent with her. Just let her go.
As he plods toward his car, Ted remembers meeting Mary in high school, then seeing her walk downstairs in her powder blue prom dress.
Let her go into the darkness. Let her go, let her go, let her go.
He remembers a recent excitement when she saw him again for the first time, then later in the bar, when her bangs stuck straight up. He recalls Mary as a teenager riding a bicycle, then grown up, laughing and standing in his embrace, touching him.
Mary?
He looks back and she waves.
Ted!
She runs toward him.
Mary!
He hurries to meet her. A worried frown knits her brow. Ted smiles.
You've got your keys.
Ted's smile fades as he takes his keys. At a loss for words, he nods and thanks and walks away, his shoulders slumped.
Did you really mean what you said up there?
Uh-huh. I just want you to be happy, Mary.
But I'd be happiest with you.
Ted faces her, his arms limp at his sides.
You're fucking with me, right?
Mary shakes her head and smiles.
What about Brett Favre?
What'd I tell you the first time we met? I'm a Niners fan.
Grinning, Ted strides toward her. Mary beams. Ted wraps her in his arms and kisses her.
His friends would say, stop whining, they've had enough of that. His friends would say, stop pining, there's other girls to look at.
The guitarist and drummer linger behind Mary and Ted as they kiss. Up on the balcony, Magda smiles down at them. The old geezer raises a rifle.
They don't know.
What are you doing?
That's my girl he's kissing.
But you just slept with me!
I was only phoning you to get to Mary.
He shoots the guitarist. The drummer runs off. Ted and Mary keep kissing. A Farrelly Brothers movie. Now eight inmates.
And one, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight.
Remaining opening titles with Lee Evans and Chris Elliott. Music by Jonathan Richmond. Music supervisors Happy Walters and Tom Wolf. Co-producer Mark S. Fisher. Edited by Christopher Greenberry. Now, characters from the movie dance and sing along. Ted in his prom tuxedo, Mary with students from the Neary School, and prison inmates and guards. The singing montage continues with outtakes from the film. Healy feels Mary's breasts. Singing, Dom's wife presses her husband's face in her lap. Warren tackles Brett Favre. Director of Photography, Mark Irwin, ASC, CSC. Executive producers, Peter Farrelly and Bobby Farrelly. Produced by Frank Better and Michael Steinberg, and Charles B. Wessler and Bradley Thomas. Story by Ed Dechter and John J. Strauss. Screenplay by Ed Dechter and John J. Strauss, and Peter Farrelly and Bobby Farrelly. Now Magda wiggles her droopy breasts. The detectives snap as they sing. This film has been described for blind and visually impaired audiences by Descriptive Video Service, WGBH Boston. Described by Carol Hostetler. Descriptions read by Chloe Lehman. Major funding for DVS is provided by the U.S. Department of Education. For more information about DVS, call toll-free 1-800-333-1203 or visit our website at wgbh.org/DVS. Credits roll. Cast: Cameron Diaz as Mary, Matt Dillon as Healy, Ben Stiller as Ted. In prison, a man wearing fingernail polish massages Ted. Lee Evans as Tucker, Chris Elliott is Dom. Lynn Shea is Magda. Jeffrey Tambor is Sully. Marky Post is Mary's mom. Keith David is Mary's dad. The lanky guitarist dances with Mary. Ted's psychiatrist gives him a massage. At the rest stop, the hitchhiker sings while the arrested men dance with the police. W. Earl Brown is Warren. Sarah Silverman is Brenda. Condi Alexander is Joni. Marnie Alexenberg is Lisa. Dan Murphy is Boss's brother. Richard M. Tyson is Detective Cravoy. Rob Moran is Detective Stabler. Jackie Flynn is South Carolina Police. Hillary Matthews is Dom's wife. Willie Garson is Dr. Zitface, high school pal. David Shackelford is Coconut Guy. David Gorrell is Petey. Lori Glick is friend number three. Ted sits at a bar and a film director's hand frames his head. His fingers close. Fade to black. Jeffrey P. Lerner is Carhood Kid number one. Corey Pendergast is Carhood Kid number two. Brett Favre as himself. Warren Tajdian is Freddy. Kelly Rourke is girl. Herbie Flynn is homeless man. Carol West is medical assistant number one. Ken Rogerson is pants at ankles guy. Brad Blank is paramedic. Steve Sweeney is police officer. Cindy Oliver is Renice. Will Coogan is Smokey. Steve Tyler is TV news reporter. Maureen Griffin is wine waitress. The artist formerly known as Donkey is hot dog stud. Marianne Ferrelli is driving range sweetie. Jonathan Richman is Jonathan. Tommy Larkins is drummer. Lenny Clark is fireman. Daniel Green is pizza house man. Lagina Green is pizza house wife. Michael Budge is Joey Bishop lookalike. James Gifford is Jimmy. Sean P. Gildea is prison warden. Zen Gessner is bartender. Tracy Ann George is dancer. Jesse and Anna Ferrelli is Dom's kids. Zach Lee is Mary's little friend. Valerie Bruce is Nimrod's cafe patron. Kelly O'Brien is office assistant. Hut Club patrons. Mike Charpentier, Peter Grundy, Michael Gannon, Peter Conway, Ann Conway, Susan O'Day, and Heather Rosebeck. Hut Club barkeeps. Jack Shields, Fallon Shields, and Bob Grundy. Nancy Ferrelli is boardroom babe. Insurance spitballers. Billy Bosheen, Kathy Bosheen, and Nanny Barrows. Michael Murphy and Sheila Moan as office workers. Barbara O'Connor as ashtray babe. Tim Sheehan as camera hog. Richie Balsba as cigar smoker. Architect partiers. Jim Sunshine Blake, Tim Robbie, Providence Whistle, Ruth Michelle Meyer, Billy Meyer, Brian McLaughlin, Brian Moan, John Stroman, and Pete Anicelli. Architect babes. Dwayna Knight, Kelly Schneider, and Mita Thomas. Rest stop couples. Steve and Kenny, Pat and Mike, Larry and Sam, Ernie and Tom, Chris and Rosie. Cuban dancers. Jeannie Flynn, Kevin Savali, Tom Liasca, and Mercy Lopez. Michael Cheney is cell block bitch. Jailbirds. Scott Rosenberg, George Bedard, Terry Mullaney, Rick Coleman, Michael Burke, Chris Meyer, Emilio Diaz, Billy Smith, Ed Nelson, Brian Stube, and Don Daly. Strip club perverts. Clem Franick, Julia Hissom, Sport Ahern, and Robin Gao. Paul and Monique Pelletier as Cardozo gawkers. Johnny Moan as comic book kid. Nick and Andrew Greenbury as fishhook kids. Phil Rosenberg as cell block masseuse. Buttercup singers. John Elliott Jordan, John Adamonis, Kyle Adamonis, Neil Pomfret, Ruth Pomfret, and Josh Miller. Soundtrack available on Capitol Records, Dolby Digital, and selected theaters. Copyright 1998 20th Century Fox Film Corporation. Produced and released by 20th Century Fox.